All right, Investor Plus is officially live, and it's everything you've been waiting for.
We're talking AI power networking to connect you with other investors who are serious about building their portfolio, not just dreaming about it.
You'll get access to Market Master Her, our step-by-step ebook that'll help you master any market, and an on-demand real estate fundamentals course that'll help you build your confidence. And nationwide chapter access, exclusive discounts worth over $6,000, and a 21-day meditation guide because, hey, balance is key. Most people think real estate success is all about the deals, the strategy, and the numbers. But what if we told you that without emotional intelligence, you're leaving your biggest asset on the table?
And today we have Precious Monet. We're going to break down what emotional intelligence really is and how can you utilize it to go from being a good investor to become a great one.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli. Many investors focus on learning more about real estate investment strategies and disregard the power of emotional intelligence. So Precious, do you believe that this is essential to achieve success?
Absolutely. A lot of people don't understand what emotional intelligence is. And if you don't understand it, there's no way for you to be successful. And I think the key thing to emotional intelligence is self-awareness.
So let's break it down, right? Because it would be great to go around and have like scores next to people say, this is my IQ and this is my EQ. That's my dream. But emotional intelligence, I feel that a lot of it's a way to measure it from that perspective of meeting somebody. Is there a way, are there questions that I can kind of like have a sense of somebody's
she's
emotional intelligence?
She's getting ready.
When it comes to questions, one, it really starts with yourself, right? Knowing your triggers, know how to engage with other people. You know, being successful is learning how to build relationships, right? Especially in real estate, you have to build relationships. You have to have your clients feel comfortable and want to engage with you. So if you don't understand emotional intelligence, you have to realize it really is about relating to others and how people relate back to you.
So let's jump into I know you like to talk about four kind of steps to kind of, in a sense, what emotional intelligence is. And I think you start with self-awareness. And again, we use this a lot where I'm self-aware. But then you start listening and engaging with a friend or our business colleague, and you're like, I don't know if you're too self-aware. So break that down for us. What is self-awareness? How do we increase it within ourselves and also look for it in other people, right? Because this is also about building a team and starting with ourselves.
So self-awareness is really about your emotions, right? How do you feel? How do things make you feel? How do you regulate your emotions? What triggers you? If you're in a situation that you're uncomfortable, do you know how to pivot and remain professional? You know, we're human creatures and we're emotional creatures, and something, the quickest thing that gets you upset, you're ready to either attack or, you know, respond. And you have to learn to be able to navigate through those emotions in order to be effective.
You know, I think self-awareness is easy. Isn't it easier to find other people and point it out to them versus like, what, me? I know exactly what I am.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Andressa. Of course.
You know, I think it's in front of us, right? And when I think for Liz and I, we have built such a great relationship where we know where we're coming from. Because it's different when you hear somebody pointing out a few things about ourselves from people that we don't know and from people that we know, we receive completely different, right? So Precious, when you talk about self-awareness, you mentioned triggers, right? And triggers are little buttons. Many people are trying to do not touch the button. Well, you touch my button, so you need to adjust versus how can I adjust independently of other people pushing the button, saying things, behaving things, which is very challenging. So But it's easier to say, well, you change that. If you don't do that, then I'm not going to be triggered. How do we navigate that?
It's important to, one, I know for me, I'm a big believer on if something triggers me, I need to remove myself from the situation, right? You know what? Hey, give me a minute. Let me give 5 minutes. I'm getting ready to step out so I can gather my thoughts, right? Because words are powerful. Words are hurtful. So you want to make sure you gather yourself before you respond. When it comes to questions, you mentioned you want to ask people their feedback, right? Because perception versus reality are two completely different things. Like you said, you know, hey, I think I'm great in this area. But when I ask someone that I trust and I ask someone that's going to be honest with me, you have to be able to react, right? You got to respond. You got to make that difference, because if you're perceived one way, everybody's perception is their reality.
I love that in the idea of like reacting versus responding. I mean, literally everyone listening, write those words down. So reacting, you're on the defense. When you respond, you're on the offense. So you can actually choose the word you're going to say or choose the approach. Right. But that's hard to do all the time, to respond. So much easier to react. So how does someone move through that? They get triggered. They're, you know, in a situation, there's a lot to manage, right? You're like reacting, responding. What, besides removing yourself, are there other kind of strategies or other, you know, tools that women can do or steps they can take so they can respond?
Right. It's really active listening, right? Active listening, a lot of people oftentimes tend to listen to respond versus listening to hear what the person is actually saying. So you need to, one, be in the present moment. I talk about being in the present moment often, because when people are talking, oftentimes their mind is somewhere else, or their mind is like, okay, what do I need to say to respond to what this person is saying, rather than reflecting on the words that are really coming out of this person's mouth, really being empathetic and paying attention before actually responding to that individual. So really utilizing active listening skills.
And I think that happens so much when we go into networking events, and that you listen to that person and you're trying to engage, but it's not like a pickleball, right? They don't throw the ball back and they continue talking and they talk and they talk. And then you're like, oh, wow. This is, I don't know, they don't know anything about me, or vice versa. In my case, I shut down, you're dead to me. Don't want to talk to you anymore because you have
the number is deleted. Number is deleted from the cell phone.
I don't even have it. So
that's
I would
true.
Not
you don't
have,
even
it.
Have it.
Right? But somebody that really not interested in the other person, to me, is like, I don't want to build a relationship with that person and just not do anything about that. But at the same time, I am, we read a book called Boundary Boss from Terry Cole, and she was talking about our triggers, that the person that is triggering us not necessarily did something to harm us, but this person reminds us of somebody. So anytime that something happens to me, I'm like curious about, where is this coming from? Why? Right? Because I'm curious, why did this person, when they say this word, really trigger me? I usually play with my son and I say that when we are triggered, our brains get like kidnapped and they're gone. So anything that comes out of my mouth when I'm triggered, it's no good. So you were saying about like removing yourself and calming yourself down. I think that happens a lot in couples, that one person needs to do that, but then the other person wants to continue talking. Because then they're feeling that they're being abandoned by the other person. And same thing in business partnerships, right? So fully understanding the other person needs. So do you recommend like having a conversation between partners about, hey, what do you need when you are triggered? And so we can kind of be on the same page about that.
Well, yeah, even what are your triggers? That's a big conversation most people are not having, let's be honest. Even just the trigger conversation.
Chronological order or alphabetical order, how do you want to listen?
I know your triggers. But that took us time to get there, didn't it? It wasn't like you and I became friends and then you gave me your trigger list. And I'm like, hey, Andres, it's great to meet you. We became friends and then I gave you my trigger list. That was a journey, even for you and I on the path of self-awareness and going to workshops and doing work on ourselves. But that was even a journey. So there's a lot there. Precious, how do people, as they're partnering and doing deals together and building that team, that's really important information. A, how do they know it about themselves? And B, how do they share it with their people closest to them?
Right. Great question. Well, after you do the work within yourself, right, you have to know your triggers. You know what essentially stands out to you. And like you said, when that trigger happens, it takes you to another place, right? I think it's important when you are starting to build relationships, any type of relationship, is you have that conversation up front. Now, what I'm not saying is go in and say, hey, what are your triggers? What I'm saying is, hey, you know what? What is the goal of this relationship, right? If this is a business relationship, what are you wanting from me? And what can I help benefit you with, right? So when you open up those dialogues and have those conversations like, hey, you know what? You know, I'm a broker versus I'm a sales agent, right? How can we benefit each other? You know, this is the things that I can bring to the table. What do you bring to the table? Is this relationship even beneficial for the both of us, right? So having those open dialogues to initiate those conversations and then go into communication, you know, styles. What's your communication style? What you got?
I was thinking about some people that might be listening now and saying, well, I don't have any triggers. And on top of that, those people, quote unquote, those people that have triggers, they're very sensitive people and they should work on themselves. So go ahead. What would you say to those people? Lovely people.
Look, we all have opportunities, right? We all have things that we can work on. But if you're in denial, I'm going to just say it straight up. If you're in denial, you're not going to make the best of business partners. You're not going to make the best relationships because, again, leading back to that self-awareness, if you're not self-aware of your opportunities, then how can you do something about it? What you got, Liz?
Andres and I took so many different assessments. I think we've been psychoanalyzed, brain scanned. I mean, you name it, we've done it. One of the things that we did was an assessment called the PRINT. And in the print, it talks about your triggers. But then what's interesting is, and I just want to share this with everyone listening too, is that the triggers then kind of lead you to your shadow self. Like, you know, when we're not our best self, pretty much, that's where our triggers are showing up. We're reacting, not responding. So that's like almost like we're in shadow. We're not our best selves. But when we're in our best selves, right, our best attributes come out. All the greatness of who we are comes out. So it's brighter and it shines the light on those things. So for me too, just knowing that shadow self, like, okay, where's Liz showing up in her shadow? Where's Liz showing up not her best way of being emotionally? That is a really good place for all my triggers. and I'm in that place versus moving beyond it to where the light is in my best self, if that gives anyone listening some context. But going one step further though, around self-regulation, you know, that is the piece of once you have that self-awareness, the self-regulation is critical. So talk us a little bit about the strategies you would recommend for staying composed, for not checking out and, you know, being in that conversation with somebody.
So, you know, we talked about trigger words, right? Or things that trigger us. For the people that don't like utilizing that word, all it is your emotions, right? It's all about being in tune with your emotions. If I'm feeling sad, why do I feel sad? What made me feel sad? If I'm feeling angry, okay, why am I angry? So for those of that like trigger words, really just do a self-reflection on when my mood changed, why did it change, and how does it make me feel? And then you're able to pivot, right? If I feel myself getting angry, if I feel it getting elevated, okay, Precious, you know, let me take a step back. Hey, Liz, you know what? Can you give me 5 minutes? Let me just kind of regroup before I respond to X, Y, and Z. So really, if you're able to identify how you feel in that moment, you're able to recognize it, and then you're able to do something about it.
Even just verbally saying, I'm triggered, is helpful, right? Because then it stops the emotion taking over. If you're annoyed, you're frustrated, I said it to Andresa this past weekend.
But you said I am trigger versus you trigger me, right? Because that will different.
Right. I said you trigger me and then I hit you over the head. No, that didn't happen. But no, something, conversation was made. She made a comment to me, which just, you know, kind of hit the button on Liz. This is a great way to like hit the button. And then I started to get a little sharper back. I get very short, very sharp. Just when I get triggered, you know, that's totally for Liz. This is what I'm getting. And then I she said, I think you said something. I said, you know, I'm triggered. I'm triggered by what you said. And then, and just saying that, she's like, oh, well, I meant this. I have your back here. I said, yeah, I get it. Great. It took us 30 seconds. I didn't like harb it the rest of the day. So I think the word sometimes, right, Precious, for someone just to be like, I'm triggered in their head and then be able to express that in a safe way is really sometimes the work that needs to happen.
Oh, absolutely. One of the techniques I actually use is I use it in both my personal and professional, depending on my client. But if I feel myself getting triggered, or if I feel myself, I say going left. I said, okay.
Flag, you said going left? Like,
yeah,
left?
Going, okay. Left. I will literally say, okay, flag on the field before we go left. That's like my code word. So even if you want to come up with a code word and you know it between your business partners, like, okay, so that, what did I just say to Precious that made her about to go left? So mine is flag on the field. Hey, time out. Flag on the field. So even just being creative and coming up with something with your business partner, that if you say that word or phrase, your business partner know, like, okay, hold on, let me take a step back. What did I say that might have rubbed Precious the wrong way?
Liz and I, I'll share with all of you what it is Liz and I. So if we are in a business meeting and there's a lot of people and something in triggers me, I will immediately mute myself and I'll put my glass up and I'll take a step back on my chair. That indicates to her that I need about a couple of minutes just to like restate myself and come back. I want to talk to you about this regulation, right? I think there is a difference between you respectfully taking the time to regulate yourself versus saying, I need time to think about this. And then you don't talk with a person for a week and you are using that and weaponizing it against the person to punish the person. So I just want to process with you the difference between those two things. So people are like, well, it's been a month since she's been trying to regulate or process and I didn't hear anything back from that.
I'm all with respecting people's time, but I'm all about see it said, right? It may not be in the moment. In my marriage, we have a 5-minute rule. Like, you only get 5 minutes. So once I get my 5 minutes, we come back and we talk about it. And then we just move forward. Because like you said, you're going to let things fester. You're going to respond differently. You're going to think about how to approach things differently. You're not in a clear mindset and space to make the right business decisions if you don't discuss things that bother you.
I think by giving so much time for people that may need more time, right? They do, you know, in all honesty, need more time to process something. Although to what you're saying, Andresa, I think what's interesting is the more time that sometimes that instance happens, what really happened and what the story you're making up also increases, right? So you really want to keep the facts, really what happened is what happened. And the longer it goes, it's like, you kind of don't remember and you start making things up and this person said this. I mean, it happens all the time, right? And with all honesty, no one's trying to lie, but we do make things up to justify, I know, right? Justify. Wow, I'm telling everyone I make things up all the time. No, I think we have this, it's a safety mechanism. I don't know what the psychological term is, but it's got to be some sort of safety way to protect ourselves, right? So what is something that the women listening can do or you know, kind of check in with themselves to just get honest with themselves in that?
I have something called transitional periods, meaning anything that I do, I pause, reflect, whether I'm talking to a client, you know, dealing with a coaching session and I'm done. I literally take a minute to kind of digest. Even when I get ready to come off of this podcast, I'm going to take a minute to digest and reflect and really tap into how am I feeling? You know, how am I feeling right now after that podcast? I think when you use transitional periods, sometimes we get so caught up as business owners, go, 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 go mode. We don't take that time to really decompress and really reflect and really in tune on how we feel.
I also think that we don't take the time to reflect and debrief. And I have seen it over and over again, the pressure to have immediate answers and respond to people. And I think that a lot of women feel the need to have a response immediately to a question or to a request and justify why she can or cannot do that. What would you recommend?
Setting boundaries. I think it's important to have your boundaries so people are clear on how to communicate with you. And then the realization, like if I'm like, okay, I'm only available between 8 and 5 and you email me at 7 o'clock at night, don't expect a response from me. It's okay to be transparent and set your expectations, but you have to have those boundary conversations in business relationships, any relationship.
But so many women in particular, right? The women listening, the women in our community, I think if you had I don't know, we could poll them, but if they said, I have too many boundaries or I don't have enough boundaries, I think it would probably be more women who don't have enough. So even just that step, Precious, how do women that are on this journey of emotional intelligence for themselves and for others, you know, what would you say to them very simply in terms of that part of it, in terms of setting boundaries? I know we've done different podcasts, different lessons about it, but what's your perspective on simple setting boundaries in that context?
I think when it comes to boundaries, it's really look at your life, right? What type of lifestyle do you want? What is important to you, right? For me, family's first, right? So you plug in family and everything else has to revolve around family. So whatever is important to you, pick your top dream. And if you have 3 different categories, that's your priority. Everything else has to work around that. And anything outside of that, the people that are in your lives, the business relationships and partnerships you have, they don't respect it, then they don't respect you essentially.
I hear a lot of people, investors, like, yeah, I'm like family oriented. Family is my priority. And when they pull their calendar, family is not on the calendar. Right. So I love what you're saying here, that they're the big rocks. The family comes in first and then the rest goes around versus what are my real estate goals here and what is left is to my family. And then you wake up and say, I don't have enough time to spend with my family and I want to work harder so I can get to spend more time with my family. And the harder that you work, less time that you spend with your family. And the resentment goes high, right? I don't think a lot of investors are having this type of conversation. And I think one of the challenges is that when we bring emotional intelligence concepts to the table, it's very challenging if the other party has no clue what the hell we're talking about. And most important, why we're talking about it. So just to clarify, why real estate investors that are not even aware of that, what are the pitfalls of not investing in getting to know themselves and investing in acquiring more, elevating their own emotional intelligence?
Essentially, you're not going to be successful in life. Like it's only going to go but so far, right? The relationships that we build in life, you have those seasonal relationships, right? Or only for a season, only for a certain time frame. But if you want long lasting relationships that you guys can build and grow, you're going to invest the time to set boundaries. You're going to invest the time to have those open dialogue and communications on, hey, what do you need from me? What's your expectation of me? And vice versa.
And when it comes to being that relationship, you know, I'm going to say master, but I don't think everyone has to be a relationship master, but they have to be able to manage it, right? That's part of emotional intelligence, the four steps. When it comes to managing that relationship, conflicts come up. We conflicts come up every day, right? I know, Andressa, none for you. You don't even know what I'm talking about. But, you know, I think there is a skill set and people really avoid, very successful entrepreneurs avoid conflicts. So I'd love to hear your perspective on how women can set themselves up for success as they're managing different relationships. If they're playing in the arena, they're going to have conflicts. There's going to be things that go astray. So do you have any suggestions on, you know, how they can tend, you know, set themselves up for success in those scenarios?
I think it's important to learn adaptability, right? One thing is you always want to be authentic, always be yourself, but you have to adapt to your audience. You have to adapt to different relationships. You have to be able to maneuver and manage different relationships. Managing relationships is essentially like managing a business, if you think about it, right? One, you have to be in tune. You guys got to be in line on your mission, your value, your vision. And if those couple things are not aligned and you guys are not on the same page, then again, it's only going to work for some time. But if you guys don't invest the time to build a relationship, and granted, no relationship is ever perfect. Yes, there will always be conflict, but how do you pivot through conflict, right? Open dialogue, expectations, boundaries, being truthful and honest and being transparent. Like, hey, Liz, you've rubbed me the wrong way by saying that comment. Can we talk about it? Being open. Nobody wants to have that conversation. And then that's what things linger and fester. And then you're not in a clear headspace to make the right decisions.
What I'm seeing over and over again are women that are running their real estate business with their partners. Therefore, when I say, how often do you talk about your real estate goals? And they say to me, all the time. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, yeah, you're crossing me on the highway, on the going to the kitchen. And then we say, hey, what? And then that. We were talking about, like, I was sitting down and really planning what it is and moving through any roadblock, any difficult conversation or anything like that. Then the answer is usually, no, we don't have an established time to do that. And then I think, okay, so you are coming and you're learning different ways to regulate your emotions, to engage, but then the other person, it's not interested, right? And not blaming. Sometimes it happens, men and women are not stereotyping here, right? But in our case, majority of the women that come to us, right? Do you believe, Precious, considering your experience, that it is a lasting business or business? Let's focus on business partnership. When one party has invested in developing their emotional intelligence and the other party is okay where they are.
We'll talk about the conflict there, right? Well, one, again, if you have that conversation in the beginning on expectations and boundaries, I think it's important to also include goal setting, right? How often are we going to check in? Be intentional. Are we going to set aside some time on the calendar on a monthly basis to assess the business, where we are in the business? Have we met our monthly goal? Have we met our quarterly goal? Okay, what do we need to pivot in the business? You know, things are constantly changing. What worked, what didn't work? I think it's important to at least on a monthly basis check in with your business partner and talk about setting goals. So therefore, when you guys are always aligned, you know what you're working towards, whatever hiccups, conflicts you can discuss in an open dialogue, but you have to be intentional with your time. Kind of like you mentioned, I call it the flyby meetings. You can't have a flyby meeting and be intentional. Flyby meetings is like, hey, you good? I'm good. All right, we're good. That's a flyby meeting.
Survival mode, right? You're in survival mode.
Right. You got to put it on the calendar. We're meeting, whether it's virtual or in person, sit down, have an agenda. You know, we tend to kind of overlook the little things, have an agenda. What are we going to talk about? Have the numbers and go from there.
Something that Anjessa and I have been doing for how long, Anjessa? Our strategic meetings? A long time. Forever.
I don't say this in a bad way, people. Forever, I really look forward to having it. No, it's not painful.
Way too many. No. But something we always do to kick that meeting off, it's kind of, you know, our goal setting for the next month and kind of checking in. We always do it in person. We could do it on Zoom, but we always do it in person. So there's that connection. We always have like the space to say, okay, hey, what's coming up for each of us in our personal life, professionally, with our partnership, just so there's space to talk about it. And I think that's something so many people don't even create the time and the space and the, like, to your point, precious intentionality. Something that I do with my husband is we'll be on dates. We'll always say, you know, we do our continue, start, stop, which I know Andres and I have done too. So what should we continue doing, start doing, and stop doing to continue to, you know, be in whatever relationship this is in an effective way. So little games like that work for some, for others it doesn't, but it really helps us like almost have a way to talk about it versus it being like, hey, I got to bring something really tough up to you.
And don't get triggered.
And don't get triggered.
Yeah.
Because you know your partners, whether it's business or romantic, you know your partner's triggers. You should. And so you really want to be listened and you really want to be received. So doing those kinds of tools, right? Continue, start, stop. What's coming up for me are kind of great ways to launch in. Precious, this has been great. Where can everyone listening learn more about you and follow you on your journey?
They can join my website, preciousmonet.com. That's all things precious, my consulting, anything that about me is on preciousmonet.com. That's MONET.com. And then my social media is I am Precious Monet.
Awesome. All this information you guys can find on our show notes. Precious, pleasure having you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Precious.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.